But you guys tell me who you want me to call on first.
Io.
I'm going out with Glenn, Io, and Jag.
All right, Jag, Io, briefly, what is the hardest thing about transformation? And Io, you get to go first.
Changing the engine while the plane is in flight.
I would say the definition of transformation, whether you're making Caterpillar a butterfly or you're making Caterpillar move faster.
Love both of those. All that and more on Transformers. What does transformation mean, and who are the people behind it? My name is Anne Fanai. I'm CIO and Vice President of Business Platform Transformation at IBM. Join me as I talk to some of the biggest players in the tech industry that have led some of the biggest transformations out there. There's a lot to learn from them about not just the work, but their humanity as well. Welcome to Transformers, a Think Podcast. Io, Jag, thank you so much for joining me. I guess we should tell the audience, anyone watching, this is our first attempt to see if we can have the conversation between three of us. So thanks for being our little experiment here. I really appreciate having you both on.
Thanks for having us. We're excited too, you know.
Thank you for having us, Sam.
Absolutely. So let's start. I think it would be really interesting. I work with both of you a lot in your capacities and with your expertise and knowledge that you bring as a partner to me and my seat. But I would love just a quick brief overview on what each of you does.
My name is Io Deschotta. I'm a principal at Deloitte Consulting. I work with a lot of high-tech companies. I specifically spend a lot of my time with IBM as a client. I've been in the consulting profession for about 23 years, 20 of them with Deloitte. My area of expertise is around digital transformation, right? And specifically helping my clients transform their business to adopt new digital platforms and improve processes and drive efficiency. And specifically, in the last decade or so, many of my clients have been trying to move their businesses to consumption-based and subscription-based, and I help them think through what that means, starting with the strategy and the choices and why they want to make that transformation, because I think that is important, but all the way through working with my colleagues through the implementation and the operation. And I'm excited to talk to you a little bit more about my role and what I do. But for now, I think that's enough.
Thank you again. So Jag Bangla, I am with Deloitte Consulting for 25 years. I go by the calendar. You know, this is 2025. You know, that makes me 25 years at Deloitte. I'm not trying to reveal my age at all, but, you know, I focus on a digital transformation, but primarily focused on if back office is a thing, primarily around, you know, finance, supply chain functions, analytics, and been doing that type of work for past 25 years. What makes it interesting for me, I also lead the capability at Deloitte around how to embed artificial intelligence into digital transformation. It is not an afterthought, but it comes with the process transformation. You know, with that focus, so I have a chief technology officer title that goes with all the ERP packages that we implement. Really excited to share those experiences and the state of the market, and looking forward to the discussion.
Thanks again, and thanks for taking those moments. So, you know, one of the things is I was, you know, thinking about our conversation today that I thought would be super interesting is we've each got different, we've kind of lived through this whole life cycle where there's the strategy, the kind of consulting, then, you know, the implementation, and then the continuing operation of technology. And I think each of us today and what we're doing is a different piece of that Venn diagram, but we've all lived in all of those sorts of worlds. And I'm super curious to get both of your thoughts on with the trends you're seeing in each of your spaces. You're both touching on transformation, obviously a huge part of my job too. Like, what are you seeing specifically as people go through that, you know, consult, implement, operate, and sustain view that are like, what's different? What's happening in those spaces? Like, what's really special in those areas?
And as you talked about strategy, implement, operations, yeah, if you take that equation, that looked very linear, or we did work in a linear fashion in the past. You know, I remember when I first started my career, I would say the first 6 to 7 years of my career, there's this always this notion of strategy leads technology. You go develop a strategy, then you figure out what technology is, and then you implement, and ultimately you operate. But the shift that you will see now is the technology is informing strategy, and you kind of, you know, come up with, you know, your strategy is shaped by what is out of the possible. And of course, you take some case studies and make sure that it is feasible and doable. In some cases, you experiment before you go into, you know, a productive landscape. That's the shift I see. So the strategy, implement, operate is no longer linear. In fact, I would say it's a closed loop process, because I learned great degree from operations. Once up you operate, now you practically know what is the best way to change strategy. So it's a closed loop. You go from strategy that is led by technology, you implement, and implement has portions, and we'll talk about more of a AI impact on implement and operations, but ultimately you close the loop and keep going through that circle and make it better, better, and better, and improve productivity and efficiency.
Ayo, with your kind of focus on specifically like a more broad transformation statement, I love that explanation, the closed loop. Are you seeing that, like, do customers and clients that you work with realize that closed loop exists, or do you see different challenges? Is the challenge not in the closed loop? Is it in a different area, like getting it started, getting things moving, technology versus business changes and transformation?
No, I think that's a great question. I do think that that closed loop is a very important point. I think at Deloitte, people talk about implement, strategy, implement, operate. We also use the word imagine, deliver, run. And whichever language you use, we envision it as a closed loop with kind of operate, implementing, operate, informing strategy, operate, informing implementation. And the clients that are able to kind of figure out how to connect the dots, right? Because initially, I think in the past, those disciplines were thought of as linear disciplines, right? You're either a strategy person or an implement person or an operate person. But I'll say even me personally, I started my career in strategy, but I'm a better strategy practitioner because I've done implement work, right? And I'm able to advise my clients more effectively on choices, because strategy is really about choices. But the more you leave those choices, either in implement or in operate, the better enabled you are to inform them on the trade-offs and the considerations and the issues that they may face, right? So that's what I found. I think that and there was a specific engagement that I was involved in where, because I had done some implement work, right, I was able to advise my client on the people challenges, right, that they would face if they went down a specific strategy, right? And those are things that you're not going to kind of know if you're just doing strategy. But because I've lived through implementation, right, I can actually tell them that if you do this, there's increased complexity, there's increased risk. Therefore, you need to kind of take that into consideration as you're making one choice versus the other.
Gosh, I couldn't agree more. Closed loop. I hadn't heard you say that before. I love that one. But it's actually interesting, because what I have seen so many times is I've been using the term theory to practice. When you go from the theoretical to the practical, there's this hope in this dream that the most clean, simple, straightforward answer is that. But, you know, there's humans. And I know that's kind of part of why I like wanted to do this podcast, is like there's a humanity behind it that can sometimes, you know, slow down or impact the transformation and the technology. I mean, you know, we're just human. You got to learn something new. You're not sure if this change is going to benefit or be the right thing to do. I'd be curious, like, when you start thinking about this whole loop, What types of human considerations come in as you're going through the closed loop and, you know, guiding your clients and, you know, even living your experiences?
Yeah, I think that too, because I think that the point about humans in my experience is twofold, is humans as the drivers of transformation, right? To get transformation done, you need humans in your organization to believe in that transformation to drive it. And then it's also, transformation is largely about humans on the receiving end of that transformation, and there's the change impact, how they're going to feel, how they're going to embrace it. And I think those two things have to be considered completely. You have to kind of think about, when I'm driving this transformation, right, how am I engaging the people, my organization? How am I kind of bringing them on board? How am I making sure that they believe in what I'm driving? I've found that the most successful transformations are the ones where, for one, is having a strong leader with a great vision, but the people that buys that vision and are willing to drive and get, because transformation is difficult. I'll say that often. If the audience didn't get that, transformation at the scale at which we often do it is very difficult. And it's difficult not because of the technology. It's difficult not because of the process. You can figure that out. We've done this several times. But it's largely difficult because the people are not on board, or there are obstacles, or there is an impact to them that they're not willing to move on.
And I'll echo that, and I'll give you a couple of pointers. Number one, technology and implementations, majority of the time, and I hope we are at that cusp of changing the trend, is around, we take technology and technology constraints and we design user experience on what technology provides us. I think the shift in making is now you really think about human and say, what experience is better for human? Let technology adjust to the capabilities and the overall experience, I would say. You would rarely hear in the context of technology around delightful user experiences. You know, we don't talk about it, but I think that's where the industry has to emerge. Keep human in the center and make sure that that clicks and that experience is seamless, and let the underlying databases, applications adjust, number one. By the way, that is not a nice to have anymore. As we bring, if you think millennials, Gen Z, and in future Gen Alpha, they are coming with a lot of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Tweet, LinkedIn. And you put them in enterprise systems. Now you need to do swivel chair. I need to go for something X here. For Y, I need to go this. Just the onboarding experience could be overwhelming to bring this next generation workforce. And in fact, we all experience it every day. So the human experience has to be a huge consideration in designing of anything now and going forward.
Yeah, no, and it's funny as you say that, I'm kind of reflecting when you were talking about the generations. So again, I don't want to assume with you guys, but I'm a solid Gen X girl. Like, you know, I'm solid slacker. Gen X, have no idea how I ended up in the seat I am. But what I find interesting is I remember thinking early in my career, you know, I wanted to take the technology I had at work home with me. Like, I wanted my work laptop. I wanted one of those at home. And now you're almost seeing the reverse. It's like, I have all this stuff in my personal life and I want it to play a major role in how I work at, you know, how I am at work. And there's this, tell me if I'm, you know, fresh thought for you. I'm just going to throw off the top of my head. It's like, it almost feels like if you're going to work in enterprise systems, it's almost like it's kind of a fight there, right? Because that is not, you know, that is not the social media. That is not your instant, what you get on your phone type of the world. Like, enterprise systems, this is, I mean, we're in like Sarbanes-Oxley, SEC, boring, like yawn territory. That is not, like, that's not what a lot of folks get excited about. And that's a really fascinating point I had not thought about, is that generationally, I got to make it exciting and a little bit sexy, you know?
Exactly. You know, bring the consumer-grade experience to the enterprise. Is what it is. Yeah.
I call it the Amazon experience, the one-click experience, right? How do you bring that to the enterprise? And it's such a shame that there's a huge gap between our user, and it just feels like a big gap in the mind. When you're at home, you can do one click on Amazon, but you come to work and you want to download, do something that's like seven clicks, right? Why is it this way? You know, so I do think that from a transformation perspective, that's our aspiration, right? How do we bring that consumer grade Amazon type experience to the enterprise? Because enterprise users, employees can benefit from that. There's a huge amount of efficiency you can get from that.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. I've told my team a few times, like, yeah, we can talk about missions and whatever, our OKRs, things like that. They're going to be technology, outcome driven, et cetera. But like, kind of have the vision that we exist as a CIO to create a beautiful experience for every employee. So, you know, we should be doing everything to create a smooth, seamless, easy experience to drive revenue, close the books, close sales, secure the enterprise, get your device, whatever it is. Like, these are lovely. It should be something beautiful about it if we're doing it right.
It's interesting we're talking about the employee experience, but what I find is that most companies don't measure that as a metric. It's not in any business case, right? It doesn't show up anywhere. We always start the business case with revenue generation or cost reduction, but what about that delightful experience? How do we quantify it? How do we make it real? I think that would be an interesting thing to do.
Yeah. Like, what are the benchmarks around the network service category, or does this platform, are we optimized on it, not the experience? And well, and let me pull the thread a little bit more, because, you know, talking about the human, you both have different experiences, like with the different platforms. Like, Jag, I know you spend a lot of time in the ERP world. You both have a multi-industry experience. Do you see a difference in those closed loop systems, the behavior, human behavior, even as you go through transformations, that is either industry segment, you see difference by industry segment or by technology? Like, do you see something different, ERP versus CRM, something like that?
I mean, absolutely. Again, at the times we live in, especially with artificial intelligence or generative AI, I mean, we hear all these buzzwords, but if you leave them aside for a minute, assuming that there's a big change that is happening or at the forefront of happening, you know, what I see in general from a transformation and implementations perspective, I'll give you an example and we can build on the example. You know, for many years, when we go to these big ERP transformation, the first thing we do is, you know, what are your requirements? User requirements. And we keep taking all these requirements and kind of build to those requirements and see what comes out of the box, what is the gap, and you run an implementation. I think what is changing with more coming from the operations is how many of those repeatable or repetitive tasks can be automated. So what it is leading us to is, you know, is it always a user story? Should we also think about a machine story? And you now optimize the human-machine interaction, especially when it comes to the repetitive tasks. And some of us may even argue that, so what is new with repetitive tasks? You know, robotic automation existed even 3 to 4 years ago. I would even argue Excel itself is some level of automation. But if you take those, you know, the robotic type of automation, chatbots, you know, automate simple things, but I think the plot thickens from here in terms of what is the degree of the automation that, you know, any transformation can do is a question we have to ask ourselves. You know, how far we can push the envelope on, you know, the automation. And no matter what, whatever we do from a technological perspective, we are not talking about replacing humans, but it is about how we augment humans, supercharge humans in a way with better information. And by the way, it also benefits users or humans, because you get bored, you know, doing the repetitive work, you know, because what I see is longing in every human being to do something better every day. In a way, AI will propel that ambition by naturally, right? You know, then you don't have to wake up and let me enter these four screens, create a vendor master, let me create a chart of account and fill like 250 fields and click submit and someone else is going to review 3 days later. You know, I think that that transformation is happening. And at to what degree and to what scale is the game, right? How far we can take the automation. So the difference around the best way to learn that through operations, because when you do operate, now you know all the practical challenges. Now you inform to our, going back to our discussion around the strategy and implementation.
And I'm going to pivot a little bit off of that. I love, so obviously the transformation focus that you live within, and then obviously Jag's teeing up the AI, and you know, let's put it out there, everything is AI. This is a recurring theme in this podcast. It's a recurring theme in all of our lives right now, but there's so much. I'm going to say something maybe a bit cynical. I think it's easy sometimes to talk about a large language model or, you know, some, just the high level stuff that's out there. But there's so much to me that is really interesting in the layers underneath AI to get the most value out of the AI. Could you maybe contextualize that a little bit with what you're seeing, like how AI, you know, could really be used as a stronger force in the transformation?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting, right? So obviously AI is the topic du jour. There isn't any executive conversation that I have these days that there isn't a question about AI. And then the question is about, and I do think, especially last year, a lot of POCs that a number of organizations put into place to kind of figure out, okay, what can AI do for me? I don't know that we fully answered that question in the enterprise. I think what people are realizing right now is that it may be harder in practice than it was thought on paper. I think we had great ideas about AI and what it could do. But as they moved from practice to POC and trying to scale it, they realized that it's costly. Also, that they may not have the data ready in the way that it should. But all that said, I do think that the promise of AI is real. I think I'm an optimist, and I've dabbled in AI a little bit to know that there is the promise of AI driving transformation. And there are many ways that it can help in transformation. One is in the execution of the transformation, right? How do you use AI to help you in strategy, right? So we as a firm are kind of thinking about, or how to use AI to help us think through analysis, do research, help us make choices, and help us do a lot of the heavy lifting so that AI can help you in strategy. AI can also help you in the implementation, right? In terms of kind of writing code and making all that faster. So the cost and the speed of transformation can be accelerated as a result of AI, and you can get to better outcomes, right? So that's that. But also in terms of the outcome of the transformation, right? Jack talked about how do I embed AI in the platform, in the solution, right? How do I make AI part of the transformation, whatever it is I'm trying to do? And I think that also is an area that we are exploring, right? I think we're still in very infancy. There are different platforms that have AI embedded in them from an agentic perspective, but also there's an opportunity for you to kind of really be creative and think about how do you use AI to drive efficiency? How do you use AI to automate tasks? But also, how do you even use AI in ways that we haven't even thought about yet? So a lot is there to come, but I do think in a nutshell, AI can drive and make transformations faster, cheaper, more effectively. And ultimately, from an outcome perspective, embedding AI in the core of the work that you're trying to do can yield business outcomes from a revenue growth and an efficiency perspective.
Yeah, it's that coupling of making a human being's life easier with making the technology more efficient, right? And yeah, so that's, yeah, I agree with you guys completely. I think that's fantastic. So,
Anna, I feel like you've been asking us all the questions. So I want to throw one back at you. So maybe since we've shifted to AI, right? So maybe the question is more about your own view on AI, right? So given your own role, like how bullish are you on AI? Are you seeing the results right now? And maybe even some of the challenges that you're facing as you think about AI and driving your own huge transformation agenda.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm bullish as well. I'm optimistic. It's, you know, everyone, I think if you're around any of my time, there's a hype curve. I do, like, I feel like we're kind of that peak hype curve, right? And, you know, I think I may have said this on an earlier podcast or in some other forums, but it's like, to me, it's getting the data right underneath it. That is what is so critical, is like knowing the data flows, knowing where it's coming from, where is the system of record drawing this information from that makes the, you know, gives the AI its information so you know you're getting fed the, you're receiving the right information. And I think to me, that's one of the big, to me, that's the big grant challenge is getting your arms around data. Because I mean, think of it even outside of work. If you just do a, you know, you go onto your favorite search engine and, you know, you ask for that. What are the headlines in Austin, Texas, where I live today? I'll get 300 different answers, right? And it's because, and maybe none of them are wrong, but none of them are right either. And so I think it's the continuing refinement of, you know, the training, learning what's out there, making sure you got the right data that has the right provenance. Like, you know, if someone accidentally put, it looks like it's, was it January 8th that we're recording this? It looks like January 8th, but it's actually January 8th, 1999. And like, there's a glitch in the learning that it was like, oh, well, you know, this is 15 years old, but we're going to lift this to the top of your results. And we're mostly past, I think, a lot of those type of problems. But, you know, again, I think the speed with which we move, we're AI really puts us in the heart of that fail fast, move fast environment. And, you know, if I may draw the analogy, like we're talking about the generational differences, this is failing fast in the big enterprise systems is a little more scary, right? Like, I have to make sure I don't impact IBM's ability to sell, to recognize revenue, or to secure our enterprise by maybe an over-reliance on an AI that is not as fully trained as it needs to be, for example. So I think those are things I think about every day, but like, I love it. Like we're using, my team's using Watson Code Assistant, and it's actually really rapidly building out our test cases. We're getting more robust test case usage. We're covering more of the corner cases. We're seeing, you know, we're seeing kind of better results faster, less bugs coming out the other end, and more successful deployments. And I think that's the kind of positive things I would really want to see AI driving for us. It's the make things better as opposed to confuse things more. So a couple of final questions for me come to mind, which is like, you've both seen a lot of trends in your time. What do you think, like, what about this moment in time is special though? So again, AI is the big term. Is there something both of you see as like particularly special about, you know, this moment in time?
You know, so let's take the, as you said, AI as a macro theme, but I think current time is very interesting in the sense of the scaling laws as we know them, they're all changing for any enterprise. At the bottom of it, if you really even think about compute, we design systems and processes based on, you know, I don't want to see the hourglass. I need to click save and it needs to store. And the RDBMS databases are not good at processing large volumes of data. So the compute is changing significantly. Now we are talking from CPU to GPUs. So that's the underlying trend. So you have better computing, what I call them acceleration platforms. You know, like IBM's Quantum ultimately will feed into it if you think about your storage from an IBM perspective. So there's a huge change in compute. Now, that's not the only thing that is changing. As a result, you just touched upon data, getting the right data or the quality data for reliable outcomes, number one. Number two, the type of data, you know, you can take text and make it to speech, take speech and make it image, take image and write a document. You know, with all these formats now running on that acceleration computing problem, that the stack kind of builds on top of each other. And the third thing is the business logic. And I'll tell you the trend I see with most of these ERP packages, we are in a fixed programming logic till date. You know, if you post a consumption sales order, here are the five rules to distribute the revenue to go, and you hard code all of them, that now business logic is becoming dynamic. That means that you're no longer hard coding at the application layer. Now on the top, we add the user experience we just talked about and making it delightful, you know, useful, you know, beautiful. Then on the top, the agentic, you know, now you can create digital agents. Not any one of them is making it, complex or easy, but the stack itself go from compute, data, algorithms is what I call them, and user experience. If you combine all of them, now it's like a big bite of that burger, right? You know, that kind of changes everything, you know, how we go after enterprise systems, you know, how easy we can make them, how to consume, you know, can we automate the discussion we just had. So the scaling laws are putting us in a different time and different perspective, and candidly very exciting. Everything we know of is fundamentally changing. That means a lot of opportunity, going back to the business cases we talked about, productivity, efficiency, user experience, you know, customer service. I think they're all up for a next generation transformation is the way I see it.
Ayo, what are your thoughts in that space?
I think that I am filled with dread and optimism at the same time when I think about AI. And it all depends on what day of the week you get me on this topic, right? I think there's some, and I think like it's twofold, right? So as a professional, I see the potential of AI in terms of driving increased productivity for enterprises, right? And I do think that even though we've talked about some of the challenges, and there have been some technologies that have come and gone, right? So there's a time when we talked about blockchain as the next big thing, and we talked about the AR, VR as the next big thing, and that came and that went. But I do think that this one has taken value because people can actually really envision a world where artificial intelligence is driving a lot of business outcomes and is improving, automating tasks and actually creating more time for humans and creating more efficiency in the workplace. So I think there's all of that. But also when if you play that out to the nth degree or years that you kind of think about, okay, how do we address the impact of AI? And I think that's a concern that I have. And I'm concerned for kind of people in the workforce and even future people coming to the workforce. I think when you look at the Gen Zs, they're all worried about, okay, what does the future of the workforce look like? So again, there's excitement and optimism about the potential from an enterprise perspective, from a business perspective, even for the world overall. But we have to kind of really think about the human impact. One of the things that I read the other day was how as we think about the fact that AI is going to actually remove or reduce how much time we spend at work or reduce the work. And the reality is that there's still going to be a human in the loop. And our ability as humans cognitively or physically, emotionally hasn't changed, right? But AI is much faster than we are. So how do we make sure that we are balanced, right? Because AI is going to be producing content, right? So think about marketing, right? We have AI doing copy, but you also have a human in the loop trying to kind of digest all of that, right? But our ability and our capacity hasn't changed, right? So just making sure that as humans, we are able to keep up with the increased load of creative content that's coming from AI that we need to review. So I just want to, as a professional, just kind of making sure that we balance the optimism with the downside of AI.
So I'm going to pick on you first and then Jag to bring us on home here is, you know, one thing you just kind of set up nicely as a final question. So one of my themes for this podcast, one, you know, things I believe in is the humanity behind it. We've talked a lot about, you know, creating the experience, but, you know, the fact that we're all human beings ourselves, like we have career aspirations, we have personal aspirations, we, you know, we have things happening inside and outside of work at all times. And we've talked about the changing nature of the work and the changing, like how skills need to evolve. I'd be curious, again, Ayo, your thought first on, are there skills though that are constants over time? Like there's, again, we're at this moment and we're talking about new skills, but are there skills that you're not seeing change over time that are really important?
I think, you know, it's funny, right? That I think there's a very key skill that will not change over time that is required for the new world of AI, which is imagination, right? And I think that imagination is going to allow us as humans ask better questions of AI, right? And I think that is that imagination, that curiosity. I do think that if you fast forward, a lot of AI is going to be ubiquitous, right? In different organizations, in different places, right? And you'll get the answers. But the winners will be those that can ask the smartest questions. The winners will be those that can imagine a future different from what we have right now to be able to take real good advantage of AI. So it's a skill that we've always had, but I do think that as we move forward, it's going to be an even more important skill for all of us, including new people coming into the workforce.
Yeah, you reminded me, I mean, we've heard the term prompt engineering, but like the way that's come up, and I mean, that mm-hmm. is so creatively and imaginatively driven to mm-hmm. be a strong prompt engineer. So love that answer. Jag, bring us on home. What do you think?
You know, what I think, you know, I've yet to see AI folding my laundry. what I think is, you know, based on what I'm seeing is the, you know, there's nothing that replaces human expression, you know, with intent. If you think about diplomacy, for example, you know, AI doing diplomacy, you know, I don't see that. So there is still this human desire, intent, expression that drives the world. Right, from a humanity standpoint, AI can do certain things better because it has better access to data, and it supplements human judgment, and it will never replace humans. In fact, the problem AI can solve for humans is we don't have enough humans to do all the work. Right, so number one, it's not substitution; it's add on. Number one. Number two, as it gets evolved and humans will still play a huge role in advancing the humanity itself and making world a better place, peaceful, you know, resolve complex problems. I think we all will have a huge role, but humans who embraces AI and technology in general will be better and they'll be more successful either in their careers or in life. Yeah.
I feel like that might be the quote of this episode. AI still doesn't fold my laundry. That's great. Well, I want to thank both of you guys so much for your time. It has been great having you. And, you know, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Anne. This is fun. A lot of fun.
Thank all of you out there for watching. Hope you appreciate it and hope you learned something with us today. We'll see you in a couple weeks.